I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Don't forget to head on over to our website, shamelesssex.com, for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Yo, 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 everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast. This episode is on swinging, the swinging lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
With Brenna and Brian. Swinging is a lot.
They're front porch swingers.
Yeah.
Which I like that.
Did they even explain what that meant? Did we ask them in the podcast? I can't remember.
We recorded a while ago.
Well, maybe they explain everyone.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yes, they in swinging is we actually got invited to, what is it called?
Hedonism in Jamaica.
In Jamaica, yeah.
We haven't been able to go, and now obviously
we really can't go.
Yeah, I was trying to take Legend too because I just
your dog.
Yeah, I just got him
to the swinging resort.
If you go to Jamaica, you have to quarantine your dog for, I think it was 3 weeks. I looked it up in Kingston, only in Kingston too. So I'd had to go into Kingston with my little dog
to go to this resort for 4 days, four nights or something.
It was not going to happen, but I really wanted to bring Ledge.
Yeah. Swinging is something that a lot of people like and are into and is a form of non-monogamy.
Also, funny story. Yesterday, I went to the peaceful rally. It was a peaceful protest.
Yes.
And I had Legend in a dog backpack, and someone was like, Legend, and recognized him.
From the podcast?
No.
Just no? Okay.
From probably, I think, one of my partner's daughter's Instagram.
Okay.
And it was really funny.
Your dog's famous.
I was like, oh, you know my animal. Hi.
How cute. Yeah. Legend, you're famous.
Legend, you are the best. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because I just remembered, and I was like, I love my animal.
Oh, I heard, I was out of town this last weekend, then yesterday I was sick. I have a UTI, everyone. And yesterday I was started taking antibiotics. It was miserable yesterday. I'm feeling much better today. So they had the protest yesterday. But someone messaged me who lives on the East Coast. They're like, I'm so impressed by the chief of police in Santa Cruz. I'm like, how did you hear about that? I wasn't there on Sunday when they did a march.
Yes. Yes.
And
I know people were commenting on that.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it either.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that one, but lots going on in the world, and we are not in any way looking the other way. We are active on social media, and what we're doing this week is really committing to only posting work of people of color, and we are still sending podcasts out through this week. I know some podcasters have actually opted out of doing podcasts for this week, or they're also only doing podcasts about social justice and what's going on. And we had decided, I think in the beginning of coronavirus stuff, that while we have a stance and opinions, and we're sharing them on certain outlets, we also want to provide a place too for people to still go and learn about sex and sexuality. And so I just want to comment on that if for some folks are listening and wondering maybe why we're not commenting or doing a whole episode on what's going on this week, that we are still wanting to share the message of sex positivity, which someone made a really interesting comment today that I haven't really dissected. They're in our podcast family. It's Sunny Megatron.
From American Sex Podcast.
She was talking about because this is also Pride Month. Which is, and right now it's interesting because it's Pride Month, and so it's, you know, LGBTQ+, and a celebration. There's usually for the Pride Festival start this weekend. I think is usually
none
when
of
it
them
start.
Can happen because of coronavirus.
Well,
and
I don't know if they're not happening, but we're also in the middle of something else that is really important. That Black Lives Matter and a lot of social justice stuff. So it's this time of. I think it's a tricky one because we want to highlight this is an important month in that, these Pride festivals celebrations did start I believe, and I could be wrong, but it did start from protests and riots and a lot of really shitty things that were happening and still continue to happen. I think, I'm pretty sure a trans woman of color was actually killed a couple days ago. So, want to just bring all these things into the picture that we are, God, coronavirus, and then we have social justice and Black Lives Matter and a lot of this this stuff that's been going on for a long time. And then there's also this Pride Month too. And so there's just a lot to take into account here. And here's one other thing that I saw. Alison Moon, she was on her podcast, Girl Sex. Mm-hmm. She posted something, I think it was a repost that someone put, that was saying people are considering 2020 as the year that that we lost or something, right? They're saying that. And she actually said,
like, we're going to redo it. It's going to be 2020 next year too.
Well,
just because it's the,
no, she didn't say that. Oh. So the repost was saying, instead of looking at it as the year that we lost, you know, because we were in shelter in place and there's all this stuff going on that is really sad and horrifying. And instead of looking at that, look at it as, this is the fucking year where shit really needed to happen and started happening
all at once,
And so that's super intense in all the way. So, we welcome all the feels from all of you. And we have a lot of feels over here too. It's not the easiest time, I think, for anyone. And I think it's a really important time, what's happening right now.
Yes. And we won't use our podcast to be political, because we know that people come for sex advice and information. We just want you all to know that we are sending out love and positivity and equality for everyone.
We might be political on Instagram though.
Yes, yeah.
we have that outlet there too. So yeah. It's not that we're not, and I mean, that's one thing we're looking at too, is that, you know, the stance I stand by the stance that silence isn't.
And
isn't
I'm also
working.
Doing my best to educate myself as much as I can on some of the issues, because I feel like education is the key here.
Oh yeah. So. I have so much to learn, and that's the opportunity here, is we can stay stuck in our stories, or we can learn more and educate more and also look in the mirror and be like, how can I do better? And what have I been hiding from? And social justice is one of them also, with what's happening with coronavirus and a lot of the other things happening in the world. So just want to comment on that real quick, but we are going to be talking about swinging lifestyle. It's fun. It's playful. It's informative. Might make you want to go and try the swinging lifestyle. Maybe you're already in it. Maybe you just want to learn about non-monogamy as well, or maybe you'll learn some things that will apply to monogamy, because when we learn about non-monogamy, a lot of it is applicable to monogamous relationships as well. So stay tuned. Before we dive in, we want to give two shout outs. One is to a listener who sent us two very adorable masks.
They're so cute.
They're adorable. That this company that she works for.
Mine has a little hiker on it.
Mine has, I think.
It's in a tent. So wait, adorable.
Mine Yours has a man's crotch.
I know. I like that. And
so perfect.
His head right there.
Oh, hey.
Ooh, and I think he's fishing.
I'm going to wear that mask out and about.
Really cute. And the colors are beautiful.
He's fishing. So this company is actually a bike company. It's a bike packing company. It's, let's see, can I say this right? Oveja Negra Bike Packing. That's OVEJANEGRA bikepacking.com. And they do all kinds of things like bike products, and they also make masks in there, and they're only $14. And if you want a really cute mask, go check it out and you can order from them. And thank you, listener. We will post some photos on IG of us wearing our super adorable masks. Another shout out to our favorite yoga studio that is not open right now, but they are open online. This is hotsourceyogastudio.com. Nicole is one of our favorite teachers. She's amazing. She's inspirational. She's also a life coach. She is a badass teacher. She also teaches an online 200-hour Pilates training and does online yoga trainings. And there's just online daily classes, Pilates and yoga. It's been saving my life during these times. We can't wait until the studio opens again in person.
Someday soon.
But if you want to know what we're talking about, go to hotsourceyogastudio.com. You can take the classes. You can take a training or two. Maybe
even if you're not in Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Even if you're not in Santa Cruz.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are. I wanted to just say one last thing. I'll just share a semi-funny story before we do the sex question, the bio. So I went to the beach the day before yesterday. It was very nice. I just went alone to the beach. I haven't gone alone to the beach in a while. And it was, I went to Littles.
What about Perry?
I brought Perry.
Oh.
Perry came with me. And I haven't I don't know. So this person might be listening now. I don't know if I got hit on, but it's like someone
odds are
was
you did.
Talking to me and my dog, you know, the Perry, you have a cute dog is kind of like the opener where they're like, hey, your dog.
Yeah.
And you know, where'd you get her? What's your dog's name? And all these things. And so we were talking and in my mind, I was like, wait, are we flirting right now? I haven't flirted or been hit on. And I think when people say hit on, they think it's like aggressive, right? This person wasn't coming on strong, like, hey, you know, they were
vibing.
Talking. Yeah, they were vibing. They were super nice. And it was fun to talk to them. I was enjoying it. In my mind, I was like, I haven't really just like talked to a stranger, let alone someone that might be flirting with me in a while. Probably. I mean, I feel like when we go to trade shows, we get hit on all the time, but those aren't happening anymore. And so here's just the funny part. I was talking and getting to know this person, was really enjoying it. But then I started to get into my head, like, wait, I don't know, am I doing this right? Like, and then I kind of wanted to go, like, and then the tide was coming up. I was like, wait, how do I like end this without seeming awkward? But also like, can I just go?
You can just go. You just say, nice to see you. Bye.
At any rate, this is what happened. This is what's funny. Is to me, it's funny because I feel like I turned into like an awkward 20-year-old who kind of forgot how to like flirt or something.
Yeah, you're out of practice.
And as the tide was coming, like, oh, okay, yeah, the tide's coming, we're gonna go. And then I stood up, and then he stood up, and I was like, oh, you're going too? And he's like, oh, well,
we're not going together.
Was like, no, I guess I'll just walk that way. So he was walking up with me, and I was like, oh, okay, so we're walking out together, which is totally fine. And again, I really enjoyed this person's energy, and. So as we walked up the hill, and then we were talking a little bit more on the top of the hill, my car was over here, and he was like, I'm going to go put this in the garbage can. I was like, okay, well, we're going to go. Perry and I was like, oh, okay, well, it's nice to meet you. And this is where I got awkward. I was like, yeah, it's nice to meet you. So I have a partner. And so it was really nice to meet you. I haven't talked to anyone like this in a long time, and it felt really good. I have a podcast. Do you want to listen to my podcast? Here's a card. It's just like, so,
wow.
It's just so silly. Like, so I just felt like, oh, great game, Amy.
He was ready to go. And you're like, no, listen to my podcast.
No, I think and he was like, I wasn't hitting on you or anything. And I was like, well, okay, maybe you're not hitting on me, but like, we're definitely like flirting a little bit, but I just made it awkward. And he was fine. He listened to the podcast and said some nice things like, oh, your partner's a really lucky guy or something. And I was like,
Aww. Oh,
that's sweet. Listen to the podcast. You'll get to hear all kinds of things about my personal life and April's. And so I just want to share that. If anyone else is feeling a little out of practice and flirting right now, I feel you. I think that these times make it.
I got hit on and I had my mask on. I was very confused when I took my dog for a walk the other day.
Green eyes.
He was far away.
You're cute, though.
How did he even know?
You got a hot little body, good energy radiating out of you.
I just thought that was really funny. And I was like, wow, I have a mask on. But thanks.
I mean,
he's like, do you have a Facebook? I'm like,
Did you give him a podcast card?
I didn't have one. I was walking my dog. I don't take anything with me.
Oh, you should give him a podcast card next time.
And I think I said, yes, I have a Facebook. My name's Amy Baldwin.
Thanks a lot.
I'm just kidding.
And then he's like, well, maybe that is
my
her.
Social
She's
security
a mask.
Number.
Don't give away my social security number now, Chip. Okay. Just want to share that with you. Awkward, out of practice. And if you're listening, person that...
But that
talking
it
to
me. Makes you
I really
so
appreciate
endearing,
you. Awesome.
Amy.
Yeah, and that person was very sweet.
And relatable.
Yeah. And if he was hitting on me, he was doing it and he did a great job. Like, he was
You've
very
always been really good at
friendly.
Not shaming people whenever you've been hit on. Like, I remember one time we were walking down Santa Cruz, this is years ago, and I think a homeless man came up to us because he had like a shopping cart. So maybe I shouldn't make assumptions. I assumed. And he was like, you looking good to you. And you're like, oh, thank you. How are you doing? And I was like, okay. And then he was like asking, I think, for your number. I don't even know. He asked for something. And then you were like,
no,
but thank you for trying. And the effort was really great. I was like, that was really nice. Cause some people get really aggressive. Some I've been with, girls, women, let's say,
they
get upset like, ugh. And I've never been one of those people either to shame people for hitting on you. It's flattering. And I'm always trying to pass that message on to people as well out there. Like when I have girlfriends with them and they get all kind of aggressive about getting hit on. I'm like, be thankful and you can say thank you. I'm flattered. And
if they do it in a way, if they're getting hit on in a way where they're like, yeah, baby, your tits look good, things like that, then I won't be like, oh, thank you. You know, it'd be more like, I didn't
like when the guys picked me up at the, like, physically picked me up.
No, the dance floor.
At the dance floor at that club we were at that one time.
Without getting consent.
And you got mad. You were like, put her down. Yeah. I was like, why do people just want to pick me up? I was like, spin me around.
Yeah, this happens to you often.
I wasn't thankful for that.
No.
But I'm saying when people are graciously, like that person that you met.
Well, I think what happens is a lot of folks, they have this thing of like, who are you to hit on me, right?
Yeah.
You're someone who, maybe they're unattractive to you, or, you're like you're saying, they're pushing a shopping cart around, but they're still nice about it and still like, hey, you're really beautiful. But I think what a lot of people do is more like, you shouldn't be hitting on me. And for me, it's not like, I'm just like, it doesn't, there is nothing, your appearance, your status, all that, as long as you're friendly, I take it as a compliment. But if you are crossing my boundaries, then I'm not going to necessarily be nice. But otherwise, I'm like, oh, well, that's,
you know who come in aggressive on me are when I get hit on by, like, cis women.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cis women, when they hit on you?
I get hit on by cis women and a lot.
You do?
I do. I'm serious. And this podcast is not about this. It's just interesting tangent because the other day I was at a quote unquote gathering, right? Not a party. I don't know how many people were there. And this girl came in hot and I was just like, oh, she's like, do you have a boyfriend, girlfriend? And I was like, no. Yeah. I mean, yes. I said, yes. I'm just, what's going on? And then she was like, you are just so hot. You don't know what I would do to you.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, shit. And then she was clearly drunk. But so I wasn't engaging too much, but then she kept coming next to me because I was laying out. Because I was at a pool party. I mean, it was a blow up pool, one of those pools.
Like a doughboy? Or no, like a kiddie pool?
Like a kiddie pool. I wasn't in the kiddie pool.
Kiddie pool party. I went to a pool party.
No, like five or six people could fit in it. I didn't go in. But she came in hot. So I was in my bikini laying out because it was nice. And then she just kept coming up to me and asking me questions. And about my boobs and like things like this.
Yeah. So that would be.
It was aggressive, but she was friends with someone there. So I didn't want to hate, but I was like, I got to go to the bathroom.
I was like, any penis owner or vulva owner that came to me and like, you don't know the things I would do to you. That crosses my boundaries a little bit. I'm like, okay. Thank you for telling me that. That seems like something that, like, you can tell me that when maybe we're already on a place where, like, it's clear that I'm flirting with you or that I'm interested.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Mm-hmm. And then some other girl touched my face at the same party.
Oh, you hate having your face touched.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to piss April off, touch her face. No, don't do that.
Even energetically touching it. I'm like, no.
Don't even touch it with your eyes. Okay. So, are you ready for a sex question in the bio?
Yeah, everyone's probably over it. They're like, fast forwarding right now.
Shut up. Okay. So, sex question. I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years now, and I'm clueless on how to admit to her that I'm interested in trying a poly relationship. I was very sexually adventurous before we met couples, swingers, etc., and had to tone it down because I didn't want to scare her away. She's amazing, and I don't want to lose her, but I feel like my past will make her leave. Huge fan and learned a lot from your podcast. Thank you and keep up the amazing work. By the way, this person, I mean, their name was a name that's generally used by vulva owners. But I don't know if this person's a vulva owner, but just so you know, as we answer this question, that is a possibility. So this person, they have a past of being in open relationships, poly relationships, etc. They never shared this with their current partner because there was shame. They didn't want to scare them away. And now there's this desire to go that route again, to have a poly relationship. So it's a really scary conversation to be like, hey, here's my past and here's what I'm currently wanting right now.
Well, because immediately a lot of folks go straight to, what am I doing wrong? What am I not fulfilling for you?
Yeah.
Which is an old pattern that we're all used to thinking. I'm guilty of the same thing when, not anymore as much, but it brings up stuff where I'm like, I'm not fulfilling everything for you. However, it also, if you don't ask or even sit down and have a conversation about what it's not even non-monogamy at that point, because it's polyamory, but you can do it in this really beautiful way. And actually everyone can benefit as long as there's openness and integrity and they create the terms of their agreement. And there is risk, though, of that person.
There's always risk.
Of them not only rejecting the idea, but possibly then getting
fearful
or, yeah. of yeah, that relationship coming to a close or ending.
Yeah. Yeah. That's possible. And when people ask, I get the questions like this from folks often where they're like, I don't know how to say this, but this person did a great job writing this to us. You're terrified. You didn't share this because you were afraid to scare them away. You really care about this person. And so I think when people share things and they share that vulnerability, it makes a big difference. If you went to your partner and just like, hey, I've been thinking about this. I want to open the relationship up. It can be really scary. And you could totally do that. But also when you share, you're sharing also that you didn't share some info from the past too. When you share the hard part, I was really scared. I didn't want to lose you. I have some shame about this here, or maybe it's not even shame, but I have fear, or I have a history of people not choosing me because I am more of an open relationship person. So when you explain more about that, I think people could potentially realize that it's not as personal as they might make it if there wasn't as much heart and transparency about all the challenges, about the fear, about all of these pieces that add up to this experience of why you didn't share and why it's scary to share now. So I don't think there's a necessarily perfect formula. It's not an easy conversation to have. And I think if you share your heart, your fears, your true emotion and the vulnerability in all of that, and also share why, like, what is it about poly relationships that interests you so that they're not like, oh, I'm not enough. You know, what is it? Is it that you really just like being close to multiple people? Does it help to supercharge you in your primary relationship with your partner? Is it real desire that's just part of your innate nature? And so sharing those pieces to make this ensure to this person that it's not personal. It's not anything about you not being enough. This is just, you know, a desire of mine, or who I am, or you know, who I have been in the past. So yeah, good luck in that conversation. And they're not easy. There's not an easy route, but I think when you bring in your truth and your heart, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. People do it successfully all the time.
And I don't know if we asked in this podcast to Brenna and Brian about how we probably did about how to advise for people who want to start potentially opening their relationship in different ways. They may have tips. So this episode could be applicable to you. With that, do you want to read a bio?
I sure will. Brianna and Brian are the hosts of the sex positive podcast Front Porch Swingers, where they chronicle their real life adventures on consensual non-monogamy. They've shared their passion for the swinging lifestyle in many formats, including countless lifestyle podcasts, online publication, Hustler magazine, and sex education platforms. Their YouTube channel, also called Front Porch Swingers, provides resources on everything from sex toy recommendations to basics of swinging. Brianna and Brian share their work with two goals in mind: to normalize the non-monogamous lifestyle and to encourage you to seek out sex on your terms. To learn more, visit frontporchswingers.com.
I think it's Brenna, too.
I said Brenna.
I heard Brianna.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's cool, though. That's
Brenna,
cool.
Brenna and Brian.
That's fine. We're
did I say it wrong?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm sorry. Brenna and Brian are listening right now.
And they're like,
it's B-R-E-N-N-A. It's Brenna.
Yeah, Brenna and Brian. That's cool. What's the website again?
Frontporchswingers.com.
All right. Are you ready for the podcast?
Yeah.
All right, everyone, episode time as usual. And here we are talking about the swinging lifestyle. I love this topic. I think it's a lot of people have some ideas about what swinging is. There's some misconceptions, some questions. Some of you might be in the swinging lifestyle.
I also love that well, you all deemed it the front porch swingers,
yes.
Which it's like, you think about this beautiful front porch swing and also a lifestyle of swinging.
Yes. What does this entail? And we always start with the same question. We'll throw this at you. Tell us about how you got to be where you are today, both in the swinging lifestyle. You have a podcast on this and non-monogamy. Tell us your story.
Sure. So both Brian and myself spent a lot of time, you know, in, I would call, unfulfilling relationships before this. We have a few failed marriages between us. And, you know, we kind of just kept doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, which, as everyone can tell you, doesn't work. And so it was really interesting. We actually found each other about 2.5 years ago. And it was under the guise, I guess, of being in a BDSM relationship. It was something we both wanted. And we were both at a point in our lives where we were like, we're not going to do the norm anymore. We're not going to continue to enter into these same relationships. And so we started in a BDSM type dynamic with each other, not expecting it to be anything super serious, and fell in love with each other. Mm. And it changed our lives in so many ways. And within 6 months, we were talking about the option of non-monogamy and what that might look like for us. And we kind of never looked back. It's been a roller coaster in the best possible way. And then probably 6 months after we started swinging, we started our podcast, Front Porch Swingers, and have just really, our passion has truly become sharing our knowledge of the lifestyle with other people. I think it's sometimes, as you mentioned, a very misunderstood lifestyle, mm-hmm. and one that can be very, very beautiful for people if it's done right. And so we have dedicated our lives to that, and it's been amazing.
Nice.
Why is it often referred to as the lifestyle? Like I hear that, and when I hear that, I'm like, I want to be part of the lifestyle. But like, why lifestyle?
Well, I think your reaction to it is yeah. why it's the lifestyle. I think sometimes people hear swinging and they think of kind of those old 70s key parties or the idea of like free love. And I think we've come a long way since then. Obviously, the general concept is the same. Swinging and the lifestyle are technically the same thing. Typically, people my age, millennials, I'm 30, prefer lifestyle just because it's a more kind of modern twist on non-monogamy.
I've been asked that before. Like, are you part of the lifestyle? I'm like, which one? I don't know. Just out and about. And I actually get a lot of folks that I feel like want me in their swinging lifestyle that I didn't even realize. And
you're the dream unicorn.
I don't know about that. And I've talked about it before. Anyway, this is not about me at all, because our listeners are very curious about, I think, the swinging lifestyle, and information is key. And also it's, as you said, it's a misunderstood sort of way of living, and it doesn't need to be so boxed up either. There can be a lot of different ways to be a swinger or open, if you will. So I guess, can we talk about what swinging is, and also let's like dive deeper into the misconceptions of the swinging lifestyle, because there's obviously a lot out there.
Yeah, absolutely. There are, you know, ethical non-monogamy, consensual non-monogamy, swinging, open relationship. It's all the same destination for the most part, right? It really just depends on which path you're taking. And that's really a generational kind of thing. Like Brenna alluded to, the old 70s key parties have gone away, as for the most part has the term swinger for anyone, let's say, under the age of 45. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of, you know, as time goes on, the nomenclature always changes, right? And so that's essentially what's happened. You've got a lot of different names for it, but it's essentially the same thing. It's a path to ethical or consensual non-monogamy.
And it looks very different for different people and different couples. For example, a lot of couples that are in the lifestyle really only play with other couples. That's kind of the most traditional form of swinging or being in the lifestyle. For us specifically, we actually play with kind of an array of people. And it's based on, you know, I think for us, different opportunities with different people present different eroticisms for us. So for example, I have a single gentleman that I play with on a regular basis, separate from Brian. And that is completely different for us in our relationship than being with another couple. So there's a lot of different ways that you can be a swinger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all awesome in their own way.
Yeah, we also have a female play partner, and we both play with her, and I play with her separately. Mm-hmm. So it there's a lot of different variations.
And I think one of the biggest misconceptions, it's something that, you know, when I look at our personal swinging journey that I would love to talk about today, is the idea of that indiscriminate sex is kind of the key or the core of the swinging lifestyle. And for the vast majority of people that are non-monogamous, that's not the case. They want some level of connectedness. They want to be friends with the people that they're playing with. You'll often find that people in the swinging lifestyle play with the same people regularly. And the main reason for that is because they want a deeper connection. Basically, they want something between indiscriminate sex and a polyamorous relationship. They're looking for that gray area in between those two things because it brings typically a better sexual connection and a higher heightened level of trust as well.
Yeah, we say it all the time, our closest friends are a lot of times people we've played with, but we also just have dinner with them too, or go to a concert, just like any vanilla couple would.
So it's almost like community and like deep connection to this extended family where you're spending time together. Yes, there's sex and flirtation that can be involved, but it's bigger and beyond that. It sounds fucking awesome.
And it's about communicating with all of your people that you choose to play with, I'm assuming. And in your partnership, it's a lot of being honest and open about what's happening, or I don't want to make any assumptions. Is that kind of the case?
Absolutely. I would also say it's about a different level of understanding. So Brian and I are both out to people in our lives who are monogamous. And while they support us, they don't have the same level of understanding of our relationship as our lifestyle friends. And I think that that's what makes the connection between, like, for example, us and our couple friends that we have played with in the past. Yes, there is that sexual connection. Yes, we find them attractive, but we can also sit and talk about shared experiences in a way that we have never been able to do with our friends that are not in the lifestyle. So yeah, I mean, the community part of it is huge and very important.
Is that why you started the podcast? Did you start the podcast to sort of give folks more insight into the community and the lifestyle in general? Or is it for anyone that's curious? Or is it for folks that are in the lifestyle? Or I'm just wondering because I want to know more.
I'm sorry. It actually started out really more as a cathartic thing. We were so excited about what we were doing and the opportunities that the lifestyle brought us that we just wanted to share it. And as time went on, very quickly, we realized just how much we enjoyed it and how important it was to us, how passionate we were about it. And so we pretty early on decided it was going to be our main focus at some point. It's what we were going to do.
That, and we live in a fairly rural area, and sometimes it felt like we were off on this little island. And so we wanted to feel that connectedness with listeners. We obviously didn't think it would turn into what it's turned into, but just that idea of, you know, sharing our story and hoping that people would reach back out with theirs, which has obviously happened, and it's been really kind of therapeutic for both of us.
I love that. So people who are listening and they're like, you know, why do people choose non-monogamy or the swinging lifestyle or what are the benefits for couples who choose that? And you know, why do they choose that?
I think, so back to a misconception, I think a lot of people assume that you get into the swinging lifestyle to fix something that's wrong in your relationship or to fill a void that exists within a relationship, especially from a sexual aspect. I think, you know, 99 out of 100 lifestylers would tell you that it's actually the polar opposite. They have amazing sex lives. They have so much connectedness and trust with their partner. And that's why they can be completely open and honest with each other about their desires. And I know that was the case for us. This was the first relationship I had ever been in where I would tell Brian things and he would have this look on his face of either eagerness or interest rather than judgment. And because of that, I found myself constantly wanting to share more and more and more with him, which resulted in us feeling comfortable enough to say, hey, it would be really hot if I was able to see you with another person and vice versa. And, you know, I think that that is the case for the vast majority of people that get into the lifestyle. They see this as an opportunity to ramp up or to accentuate the amazing connection that they already have together.
Yeah, if you're a couple that has amazing chemistry and amazing communicative properties, all this is going to do is intensify that. There, as you mentioned, there is no lifestyle, there is no relationship without that communicative piece. And for us, it was mind blowing for me to be in the first relationship I'd ever really been in that was completely open and honest, literally from day one. It's how we started. And to be able to continue that and just watch that grow, pretty amazing when you consider, you know, how we got to where we are.
I'm hearing a lot of
aliveness. I say this on podcasts all the time, because that's like the, what I, when people are like, invigorates our connection, our individual lives and our connection to each other. And there's this aliveness component that you get to have all of these experiences, whether shared or separate, but then you come back to this person and they continue to invigorate you and be like, wow, look at all this pleasure that we can have and these exciting experiences, and we can still be connected. We can get excited together about them. And there's just so much energy behind it that sounds, should people choose it, sounds like super fun and spicy. And I assume it's probably not for all folks, because you have to be kind of open in that
case. Have a strong foundation that you've already built, right? Yeah.
And you were saying, you know, I want to watch my partner have sex with someone else. Like, you know, a lot of other people haven't worked on their stuff to be comfortable with that, or maybe they don't want to. But I guess I'm just going to go to someone's question, but like,
something that has always, I think, curiosity, right? A lot of folks, we're not monogamous creatures. Human beings are not monogamous. There's so much access now to beautiful things and beautiful humans. And it does. It takes a specific kind of relationship and a specific kind of process to build. It doesn't just, maybe it does happen. Maybe you meet someone and it just, that is what you're going for. And I know that for me, I am not a no, no, no person. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I will eventually probably explore the lifestyle, because I know that I'm now building this strong foundation. I would love to hear about some of the challenges that come up in your relationship. And for those folks that want to explore the lifestyle of swinging and non-monogamy, what you would say to them, to me.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of obvious one that comes to mind, and I think the one that people probably assume is a potential pitfall of a swinging relationship, is the jealousy aspect. Swingers are not immune to jealousy. And it's definitely something that we've had to have a lot of conversations in our relationship about. Brian is maybe unique in that he doesn't really experience jealousy. It's not an emotion.
You're one of those.
Wow.
That he has. And on the flip side, I would not call myself a jealous person, but I certainly experience jealousy. And so we've had to have a lot of conversations about empathy when it comes to that. You know, for example, we were out with a single female that we have both played with. She's a lovely woman, and we have a great friendship with her. And we played, and then we had dinner, and we were walking to the car in ice, and she and I were both wearing stiletto heels. And Brian grabbed both of our hands to walk us to the car. And it was the first time I'd ever seen him holding hands with another woman. And that gave me this weird gut check moment of like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense, because I'm okay with you having sex with someone else, but that feels more intimate to me. And explaining that to him in a way that doesn't feel like I'm blaming him or that I am somehow, shaming him, it takes work. And I definitely had to be very careful about my language, about the way that I approached it. And I think that's the difference between a successful lifestyle couple and a non-successful one, is how you compartmentalize that jealousy and then communicate it to your partner in a respectful and constructive way rather than an angry way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the obvious one. What would you say?
Yeah, for sure. Again, as Brenda alluded to, I don't really have a jealous bone in my body. It's just not an emotion I possess. So that's not, I don't get the same feelings as most people would be considered a jealous moment. And because of that, I think, is why I did what I did when I grabbed our friend's hand and Brenna's hand without even giving a thought to, well, certainly she's not going to be upset by this. I mean, she just watched me have sex with this woman for a couple of hours. In fact, she set it up because it was my birthday. So,
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Why would I consider that to be a problem? So it's one of those things I also have to work on and just make sure that, you know, we don't have a lot of boundaries when it comes to our play at this point. We have some safety, obviously, is the most important, and it's paramount. Outside of some of the basics, there's not too much that we're not okay with, but it's that type of thing you just have to be cognizant of. So no matter how long you've been in the lifestyle, no matter how seasoned you are, you still have to be, pay attention to the cues of your partner.
there's a lot of jealousy in a relationship, maybe swinging or non-monogamy won't work, or it's something that to sort of work out before you choose the lifestyle.
Well, it's like knowing how you work with it. It's not saying I'm not going to feel this. It's how do you react to it? How do you talk about it? How do you work with it? You don't ignore a feeling or a fear or an insecurity. It's like you go into it in a way that's loving without pointing fingers. I mean, I know like some super poly folks that experience a whole bunch of jealousy, but they know how to feel it and to look at it and to communicate it lovingly without saying you're doing something wrong, you're bad. Right. And, you know, one thing that's interesting to me, so we were talking about this, you know, that a lot of the idea that humans aren't innately monogamous. And what I'd like to open up to our listeners, one, we're not telling you to go into non-monogamy. We're not telling you to go be a swinger. And in fact, I personally, this is my personal belief, the idea of monogamy, I feel like a lot of people have a different opinion of what that means. Mm-hmm. Is monogamy that you meet someone and that you're with them forever? Is monogamy that you meet someone and then for the whole time that you're in a relationship or marriage that you don't hook up with anyone else? Is monogamy that you're not attracted to anyone else, which is kind of impossible, honestly, if you put that in there. But, you know, the other things are more about boundaries and negotiations. And I do know people that I believe are much more geared towards monogamy. It doesn't mean that they're not attracted to other people, but they're completely okay with not, you know, engaging with them. And maybe for them, that's just like part of who they are. They're very dedicated to the partners. Maybe sex isn't that important. Or maybe it's just, you know, they're like, they have other ways to feel alive and sex isn't a part of that. So I just want to invite our listeners to just define monogamy as you see fit and to know that your definition might not be someone else's definition. And I do believe that the majority of people are not monogamous in the way where they meet the perfect person at 20 and they're with them till they're 80. And that's the only person they ever want to touch. And some people might be that way. But most folks will have a moment where they desire other, whether they acted or not. And that's all about negotiation and boundaries with their partners. I don't know if you two have anything you want to add to that piece there, my long-winded speech.
No, and many of our listeners are people who are in monogamous relationships, but they are curious about how to be honest with their partners about their desires. Now, their desires may not be swinging. Mm-hmm. They're listening to us because they want a more open dialogue with their partner about what sex can look like. And we receive so many questions about that. And the whole idea of it is that vulnerability of being honest with your partner is really difficult, especially if it's not a habit that you've created in your relationship. If you've gone years without mm-hmm. having conversations about sex, yeah, the first few times are going to be awkward.
Or like all the times for like 6 months. You're like, we're figuring this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, it's that idea of like someone has to start the mm-hmm. process or it's never going to get better. And that's something that we talk to a lot of monogamous couples about. Just because you're not looking to be non-monogamous doesn't mean you can't ask for additional things in your sex life.
We mm-hmm. hear from a lot of vanilla monogamous folks that email us basically about communication, that they listen to us because it's helped their communication within their relationship. They don't have necessarily, like Brenna said, any desire to go the route of ethical non-monogamy. But what they do get from listening to us is the capacity to be able to talk to one another openly without any judgment, mm-hmm. which is a big deal for us.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product. So I just leave it out on my nightstand, totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code shamelesssex for 10% off plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code shamelesssex for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also made possible by omgyes.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGS is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGS will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are two seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
Our listeners love tips, tricks, kind of the essential, the hacks to what it would take to do or start something in, especially to fire up their sex lives. And swinging is, I know for a lot of folks out there, they're curious and would love some tips and tricks for if they want to pursue or start getting into the lifestyle. What would you say would be some tips for them?
My number one tip, I always tell people, swinging is kind of like adding salt to a recipe. You can always add more, but you can't remove the salt. So a lot of people, they talk about being in a non-monogamous relationship. They're both excited about it. So they jump in feet first and they don't really look back. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that works out really well, such as the case with Brian and myself. But I don't think that that is necessarily, it's kind of a, you know, learn from our potential mistake. And so I tell people, one of the best things that you can do if you think you may want to enter into a non-monogamous relationship, but it hasn't been part of your dynamic in the past, is to start slow. For example, going to a bar or a social setting, a coffee shop, something along those lines, and flirting. Just take time to flirt and talk to other people, give them eyes, all of those kind of sexy things that have nothing to do with contact, and then take time to debrief with your partner after that. How did that feel for you? Is there something, did you get a gut check moment out of that? Do you have any regret about it? And if it seems like you're on the right path, that's when you can take it to the next level, which, you know, it could be one of a million different things. Go to a swingers club, but don't touch, or, you know, go on a date, quote unquote, with another couple, but with the expectation of no play. There's a lot of ways that you can start slow. And I think that's one of the most important things that a couple can do when trying to enter into the lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it's also important that you do, especially like Brenna said, when you're just getting started, whether it's you're going out to a bar or a social setting for the first time and you're simply going to flirt individually and kind of see how each other feels, or you go to an event, a swingers event, and you know, you're not going to play, you're going to observe. It's really having boundaries, setting them, and mm-hmm. sticking to them. That's mm-hmm. really the big thing, especially early on. You may get the, you know, the feeling that, oh, well, I know we had these five boundaries, but I'm willing to you know, shake a little bit on one or two of them the first time out. You don't want to do that.
Now that the energy's flowing and yeah. everything's feeling yeah. sexy, yeah, not a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds great in theory until, you know, you jump in hip deep and you see your partner naked with someone else. You can't undo that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the idea of that may be really, really hot, but until some folks actually experience it, you're never really going to know until it's over. And like Brenna said, you can't remove the salt. So taking it slow and really having a cogent conversation about what those boundaries are, being honest, what do you really not want to see? What do you want to see? And then following through with that. And then afterwards, again, like Brenna said, debrief, and then maybe you adjust those boundaries accordingly as you move forward. But definitely starting out slowly, which sounds crazy coming from us because we did jump in hip deep and never look back.
You need a safe word or something, right? You have to be like, if it gets too crazy for one of, I that's what I would probably want. Like, Amy, we're not together, but if we were.
Kumquat.
Like, I need, yeah, banana hammock. When you're in it, you're like, banana hammock. And like,
we got to go. We got to go do some deep. Repair
I'd imagine. Now. Yeah. We have to aftercare. Yeah. Will you stroke my head? Yeah. That was a lot for me to see.
Oh, deep breaths. I love you. Yeah. Well, and it sounds, so it's like, don't jump right in the deep end. Just go in the shallow end first and work your way up like baby steps into the deep end. Make sure you bring your water rings if you can't swim. You know, just be not, it's, I guess cautious isn't the word, but being considerate, being intentional. And it sounds like there's just a lot of collaboration, like teamwork in this, right? There's like, you know, sometimes with certain forms of non-monogamy, and there's like radical anarchy or relationship anarchy, that's what it's called, where it's more like a little bit free-for-all-ish, like no rules and things like that. It sounds like when we're talking about swinging, it's more like, you know, relationship kind of comes first. We work together. We honor this. We talk through everything. And that in turn, it kind of serves to make us stronger and more connected versus like it's just a self-serving thing, which I fucking love. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What'd you say? I mean, team. You've got to have that teamwork. Because also, you're dealing, if you're going to engage with other couples, you're also dealing with two other people additionally from yourself. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a potentiality for really interrupting that relationship if you don't have your stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone all kind of has to work together and be considerate. So I want to talk about female empowerment here. I think a lot of folks might think that that the vulva owner is kind of just doing it for like objectification or to keep up with their male partner. And I'm curious what your ideas are on the role of female empowerment in the swinging lifestyle.
Well, yeah, I think so. That is definitely a misconception of the lifestyle, that it's all met, you know, the men steering the ship. About half of the female halves of the couples are actually the one that bring it up in a normal swing dynamic. Obviously, in a same sex relationship, you understand what I'm saying. Half the time, it's the vulva owner bringing that conversation up the first time, which is amazing. And I think it totally breaks down a lot of the stigmas having to do with sexual desire and a need for multiple partners or desire for multiple partners. Mm-hmm. And along with that, I think that you see the ways that females in the lifestyle are empowered in so many different ways. So for example, I will never forget the first time we went to a swingers club. It was in a different state and I was so excited to go. And I went into the restroom at one point and all of the women in there are helping fix each other's hair and fix each other's outfits and telling each other how gorgeous they look. And it was just this community of women all being so wonderful to each other. And I think that, you know, granted, I think the stereotypical view of women as catty has been broken down in so many different ways, which is fantastic. But seeing it so blatantly obvious that these women wanted to support each other was pretty beautiful. And it was something I wasn't expecting out of the lifestyle at all. And it's been reinforced over and over again through interactions, through, you know, women being kind of like the quote unquote, horrible term, but wingmen for each other and just that constant support that you see. And then I think the other part of it is the body positivity that goes along with the lifestyle. I think some people have this view from the outside that swingers all have these amazing bodies and are all size twos. And when you get into the lifestyle, you see that there are so many different places for every type of body to be and to feel comfortable. You go to a swingers club and you'll see every possible size there. And as you know, somebody who has, you know, struggled with certain body image issues in the past, it's been incredibly cathartic to see that. It's shed a lot of insecurities for me, which I certainly was not expecting as a byproduct of being in the lifestyle, but it is, it's been really wonderful for me personally.
It's pretty amazing to watch how Brenna has kind of evolved as we've gotten in the lifestyle and continue to move through the lifestyle, not just when we're in the lifestyle with friends, but outside of that, her, you know, just her personality, right? She's got much more confidence in groups, feels much better about herself, whatever the situation may be. She's absolutely the first person to start a conversation if we're in the room with a bunch of lifestyle folks, particularly always the life of the party. So there's, you know, there's a lot of positives that go along with it. And I get to sit back and watch. I tell people all the time, I am not the boss of me. I am in charge of nothing. So when it comes to the lifestyle, I pretty much just go where I'm told and I'm just there on time. That's basically how it works. So
Have you heard of Wednesday Martin's book Untrue before? She actually has a podcast now, which is called True Sex and Wild Love.
Oh, good job! But she remembering
wrote
that.
A book called Untrue, which is kind of like the vulva owning version of Sex at Dawn. So it's a little bit anthropological. And anyways, she talks about in these studies, you know, in long term relationships. Often it's actually in heterosexual relationships is actually the woman that is desiring more newness, more creative connection. And it's not more doesn't necessarily mean other partners, but they're like, I want more. I know there's more out there. And then the penis owning partners, like, I'm just, they're kind of fine being comfortable. And that the vulva owner is usually the one that, not usually, but more often than not, is the one that either initiates the conversation or has the desire for that. And so I think that that's just another misconception, that women don't like sex, or women don't like sex as much as men, and they don't like flirting and sexual connection and variety and newness, when in fact they might actually like it a little bit more, statistically speaking.
Yeah, Brenna is the one that started the conversation of getting into the lifestyle. She initiated that.
High five, Brenna.
Way to go, Brenna. So if people want to listen to your podcast, Front Porch Swingers, and if they want to find you, social media or any of your plugs, can you tell our listeners? Because I know that we'll have folks out there that would love to listen to you more and also find you on all the things.
Absolutely. Yeah. The podcast can be found on any podcast app, or at frontporchswingers.com. And, if there are any questions or, anyone wanting more specific information, mail at frontporchswingers.com, they can definitely contact us there as well.
Nice. And on social media, we're all over social media.
Front Porch Swingers.
How often do you drop a podcast?
Weekly, every single Ooh. Monday.
Yeah. Oh, you're Monday. We're Tuesday. Like, see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. And you know what that means. Either of you like drinking wine? Anytime.
Yes. Are you wine people?
We love wine. Amy and I have been an advocate for wine since we were 21. Just kidding. Probably since Maybe I was like, 14. Not going to lie. And we have this amazing, amazing wine sponsor that we love. It's called Margins Wine. And for those folks out there who haven't been able to try it, because she does really small batch boutique wines, you might have the opportunity, because she's doing a summer release. So go to marginswine.com, sign up for the newsletter, and be in the know. You will love it, I hope, as much as Amy and I do. It's summertime, yo.
And if y'all want a discount, if you use code SHAMELESSSEX, I believe, or SHAMELESS10, you get 10% off of 3 bottles or more. And if you want 6 bottles, you get 15% off of SHAMELESS15
and if you
or
want
shameless
55
15.
Bottles, Amy will personally deliver them. I'm just kidding.
Even
I keep
if you
throwing
live
that out there. Even if you live in Montana.
Montana. Bozeman, yes. Not Montana.
Amy's going to go up and do that. Yeah. And I really appreciate both of you joining us for the show. I love learning more about things that I am always curious to know and need more information on. I know our listeners will value it. So thank you, mm-hmm. too, for just taking the time to be with us. We appreciate you.
And the work that you do.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yay. We do. Thank you very much.
You're awesome.
All right, y'all. Check out Front Porch Swingers. I know I will. And we'll see you next Tuesday and
maybe
next
Friday.
Who
knows?
We know. We might just pop up on Instagram all the time. We love you, shameless sex revolutionaries. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.